Football Sunday, and you already know this, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Today is the day. When I played in the Super Bowl, I remember waking up on that morning and thinking exactly the same thing. After all the ups and downs of the season, after a rough road through the playoffs, and after a lifetime of working so hard for this moment, finally, today is the day. In the next few moments, you'll be hearing from players who are playing in today's Super Bowl. You'll also experience inspiring stories from NFL players that are learning to live in something we call the increase. Don't worry, we'll explain it as we go. So thanks so much for joining us. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Today is the day.
Gum chewer. As soon as I get to the stadium on game day, I put about four or five sticks of gum in my mouth and I chew it for maybe 2 minutes and then I go get another four or five.
I always have my headphones on and I listen to various music, a lot of Christian music, I listen to some R&B and country as well. So smooth stuff. I just remember watching all the games when I was a young kid with my friends' houses, you know, just going to their houses and sitting there and just wishing and praying and hoping that I'd get to a Super Bowl one day, whether to watch one or to play in one. Obviously, to play in one would be nice.
When the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl, played the Steelers, and, you know, just got together with a few of my best buddies, and, you know, we had the whole, like, smorgasbord, you know, we had all kinds of bad stuff to eat.
And so we would always get together, our youth group, and we would have, like, Super Bowl parties, and it was kind of like all of the youth group kids are hanging out and doing their own thing with a football game in the background.
We all have events in our lives when our perspective changes. For the guys on the field today, just playing in the biggest game of their careers will change the way they view everything from here on out. I want to introduce you to an NFL player whose perspective on life has taken a radical turn. Brandon Marshall is a Pro Bowl wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. And ever since he's entered the league, he has proven that he is one of the best. But Brandon's personal life has not always been an easy one. As a matter of fact, he's gone through some life things that are way bigger than football.
Where I'm from, like, football is a way of life. It's like the culture. There wasn't basketball, there wasn't soccer, there wasn't baseball. So I can't even remember not having a football or not being a part of the game. It's like it's a part of my DNA. I remember taking a flight from Denver to Atlanta, and I had my Bible, and I guess I was trying to read it, you know, and there was this lady, she said, "Are you a Christian?" Why would she ask this? Like, isn't it obvious? But the way she asked in her facial expression made me really dig a little deeper. She saw, you know, how hesitant I was. And she said, "You know what? just pray for clarity. So for 4 years, I began to pray for clarity every single day. I was in the most dysfunctional relationship, dysfunctional marriage ever. It was horrible. You had two people who really love each other, but couldn't get it right. And my wife, you know, she just wasn't happy. I just thought a man was supposed to just provide. You know, I looked around and said, you have a beautiful house, you have a roof over your head. You know, we can do anything we want when we want to do it. You know, why aren't you happy? We have money in our bank account. And I just couldn't get it. I thought that's what a man was. One day my wife came home, she said, I'm going to church. And she's like, do you want to go? I said, no. So for a whole year, my wife would go to church with a friend. And I was so bitter. I was like, who is this person you're going to church with? You know, she doesn't know us. You know, you letting people in her business. That's how bitter I was. My wife was trying to do something really positive and change things for herself and us. And I'm sitting here worried about who she's going to church with. Dove into the word. I was relentless in my praying. I was relentless in my meditating on the word. At that moment, you know, I had friends come around and say, hey, you need to really sit down and talk to someone. You know, and I found myself at McLean Hospital for 3 months, away from my wife, away from my home. I took something up there to Boston, to Waltham, Massachusetts, that I don't think anyone else in those groups took with them. And that was Jesus Christ. Every single day, every single night, I got on my knees. And I just begged God for him to give me clarity. Same prayer. After a month and a half being up there, you know, it was like, man, I'm feeling something I never felt before. God's revealing himself to me in ways he never, you know, revealed himself to me. I remember having worship in my car by myself, listening to praise music. Like, this is amazing. Like, I'm driving down the highway with my hands up. Like, what is this that I'm feeling? Like, I've been praying clarity for 4 years. I've been praying for the cycle to be broken for 4 years, and it's happened. She came over to tell me that she wasn't coming home. We never even got to that part of it. We just started talking and expressing ourselves and praying. She just felt something. She was like, this is a different man. And months later, that's when she finally told me, like, I really was there to tell you that, you know, I wasn't coming home. You know, so I'm just so thankful that I had a praying wife, because I don't know where I would be. I was able to call my father and say, man, Dad, you know, man, we're in this cycle, but this is how we can fix it. A year later, he ended up giving his life to Christ. My brother gave his life to Christ. My mother gave her life to Christ. My sister gave her life to Christ. We're stuck in this cycle, but we're stuck in the cycle because we don't understand the root of it. For us, we figured out what the root of it was, and that was the absence of Jesus in our homes, and now he's the center of everything that we do.
As you can see, Brandon really is an amazing person. He's known as a leader in the NFL and a mentor to a lot of young players. You know what? There's another amazing person with the story too. Are you ready for this? It's you. It's your church. It's your pastor. It's your leaders in your community and in your city. Today is the day, right? But what if today is the day for something bigger than just a Super Bowl? What if today is the day you see the world through different eyes, to see the story behind the story? Your church is already partnered with some great organizations that help meet the needs of the world, and you can get involved. It's amazing what God can do through broken people who just say yes to Him.
You know, everybody kind of looks at the height of it. They look at the Super Bowl. But the most important part that has always been to me is just the journey.
You work hard as a youngster to get to high school to college, and college to pro.
You know, my dad and I have always talked about, you know, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you could play in this game? And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. And, you know, coming out of high school, I wasn't really highly recruited. And right now, it's just a dream come true. And I'm just so blessed to be here.
And it's been kind of a journey the whole way. And I feel like I have a ton of support behind me. And that really means a lot to me.
Most definitely, I would not be here without my mother. My mother is like my backbone. My father passed away when I was a young child. I think my mother, for sure, for instilling the things in me as a child to help me know what's right, know what's wrong, know what it means to work hard, see what it looks like when somebody works hard.
My dad was the one that kind of spearheaded the whole long snapping thing. And I mean, without him and his encouragement and pushing me and helping me and being there for me, I mean, I for sure wouldn't be here.
It's of course my dad. And I told him after our first Super Bowl, that's the first thing I said to him when I gave him a hug. I was like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, because he was the one throwing the football with me in the backyard, you know, playing catch with me.
The next story we're going to tell you is one that's very special to my family and I. Matthew Hasselbeck and I walked through some very difficult times in life together, and his friendship has had a profound impact on my life. Remember in the Bible when John the Baptist says, "He must increase and I must decrease"? That really meant something important. It meant that it's on us to make our life less noticeable so his life is more noticeable. And Matthew's learned what it really means to live a life that's decreasing so the life of Christ can increase through him. This is his story.
My dad played football. When people would ask me what I wanted to do when I grew up, I would say, I don't know, I just guess I'll just play in the NFL like my dad. I was drafted in the sixth round, pick 187. I can remember when I got the call from the Green Bay Packers. Andy Reid, the quarterback's coach, calls me and he says, hey, tell me what you think about this next pick. And I'm looking at the ticker, and it's like Green Bay Packers, it starts flashing, and it's my name. And I'm thinking, you guys are fools. No one else is going to draft me. I throw the phone up. I'm like, we're celebrating. I pick the phone back up. I'm like, hey, coach, you know no one is probably going to draft me. You know, like, you didn't need to draft me. But I was fired up. I get there, and I see they've got a ton of quarterbacks. But my coach came in, and he kind of instilled some confidence in me that I didn't have in myself. And one of the first things he says to me, he's like, listen, you need to believe that you can be the backup quarterback for this team. He was kind of like, he was a little churchy for me. I don't know. I was just very suspicious. Come to find out through years of being with him and then, you know, seeing him go through things in his life that the dude was legit. And he was a good friend and a great teammate. I got in the elevator and I was like critical of what the chaplain had talked about. I was like, man, I'm so glad this guy that I invited said no on our team, because the chaplain's never going to reach that guy with that kind of a message. And Trent looks at me, he's like, it's not the chaplain's job to reach that guy. It's the chaplain's job to teach you so that you can reach that guy. And I was like, whoa, really? I'm good at teaching a young quarterback the playbook. Hey, what do you do here on Fox 2X? I'm like, oh, dude, the play action is the whole deal. And I'm going to tell you, 9 out of 10 times you're throwing the tight end. Unless they're in quarters coverage, you're going to throw the post. But otherwise, you're going to go to tight end right to the X. And I guarantee you the X is going to be open every single time. Unless they're playing two-man on the backside, or it's press, bump, and run, then you're going to have your fullback. And it'll be easy gain. It'll be second and four. Like, I know that. I can give that away. I can share. And not only can I run the play, I can teach you the play. And so I wasn't at a point with my faith that I could share it in a way that I knew it. Like, I knew the playbook. Like, I was the starter. You know, I was like a rookie. Even though I had had the playbook for years, I didn't really know it. I wasn't making disciples. I was introducing people to the chaplain and feeling good about myself. There was a moment for me where I really felt something powerful that I can't even explain. It was last year, we were at a conference type thing, and I had invited our two young quarterbacks. I was like, man, I hope it's okay for them. I hope they like it. I mean, I like it. I hope they like it. And they were teaching on baptism. And I'm like walking to them thinking like, hey, I was going to tell my baptism story about like, hey, I know it's a little, I don't know how you feel about this. And both of them and their wives said, hey, our team chaplain's not here. Would you be willing to baptize us? And I was just like, are you kidding me? God is present in all things, big or small, all the time. He can do anything He wants to do with anyone He wants to do, through anyone He wants to do it with.
I love what Matthew said and the way he said it. I wasn't making disciples. I was introducing people to the chaplain and feeling good about myself. And if you're a Christ follower, you can probably relate to that. So for us, maybe today's the day, not just because it's a Super Bowl. Maybe today's the day that we take a hard look into the mirror and ask, am I making disciples with my actions and my words? Or am I simply relying on somebody else to do it for me? Now that's a hard question, but it needs to be asked. What if today is the day that we own the deep desire of God's heart to go make disciples?
As you live life and you experience different challenges and obstacles, you tend to put limits on God and think, well, maybe that's too much for me to ask, or man, He's already done X, Y, Z, and you know, I don't know about this situation. It's pretty tough. And time after time, God has shown me that there's nothing too big for Him.
I'm discovering God to be so much more of a relational God. I think there are some times that we kind of make Him this concept or this idea or just this power just so, you know, so far-fetched, and that we don't really grasp that He's a personal God and that He wants to be a part of our everyday lives. You know, and He sent His Son to feel what we feel, the struggles, the heartache, the pains. He sent His Son to understand those things and to stand in the gap for us.
He's helped me surround myself with a bunch of men on the team that are strong Christians, and God has just been awesome in my life, and I realize how much He's been with me through my life before I knew Him.
My situation is unique in that this is the second Super Bowl that I've gone to where I've been on injured reserve and knee surgeries. I think I'm discovering Him to be more gracious than I ever realized. I'm not discovering to be any type of particular person, but what I am discovering is that His grace is unmeasured.
It's all the good things and how He provides for us and how He sustains us and how He's the only reason for anything to be done, and He's the whole why of why anyone would do anything. And I think that that's true for everybody, if they believe it or not.
He's a God that completely loves and is compassionate. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I've realized. You know, I've had a lot of great things happen in my life. I've had some bad things happen in my life and some ups and downs, and through it all He's still been the consistent God that He says He is, and that's the biggest thing that you continue to realize.
So you probably guessed by now that everyone you've heard from today is a follower of Jesus. We don't want to hide that. And if you're interested, you can watch more stories just like those at the Increase website. I guess it all comes down to this. Today we're all fans, right? And that's great. I hope you enjoy being a fan today. But I hope you don't approach Jesus the same way. Because Jesus extends an invitation to follow Him, not just to applaud him from a safe distance. And maybe today is the day you make a decision to follow Christ. And if you're a Christ follower already, maybe today's the day that you take another step closer, another step in your faith journey. This has been an exciting time together. Thank you for allowing us to challenge you and encourage you. Our prayer for you is simple, that you would love Jesus deeply and live for him radically so that he may increase in your life. God bless. Today is the day. Enjoy the game.
Amazing. Thank you. I can't help but think on days like this, hearing messages like this. I've been a part of just a couple, listening to pro athletes and what they do and how they say what they say, and coming from the perspective that they come. You know, it's a lot like men and women that go through in our military, through serious training to get to a goal, probably unlike any other. That's not only mental, but it's physical. Look on the screen for a minute. I want to show you a couple of scriptures. There's a phenomenal scripture that the Apostle Paul, he was an amazing guy. He could preach to different people and share the Word of God in different settings, to very religious people, to very brilliant people, to Greek philosophers. Well, he evidently understood the power and the culture of the day in Rome concerning the games and the Olympic games that were going on and athletic training. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." He says all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Today, this game that's going to be played, the Seattle Seahawks and New England Patriots, on each of these teams there's going to be 53 guys, 53 men that have made it on the team. There's also, they've got 5 guys on practice squads, that's it. On the field, there's going to be 11 guys on defense, 11 guys on offense. And they're going to be going toe-to-toe. They're going to be running plays. They're going to be looking at the schemes that have been given to them by the offense or by the defense and try to outmaneuver one another. It's really interesting in this scripture. I just think it's amazing. He says, "Don't you realize that everybody is in a race?" And he says, "But only one person's going to win." At the end of it all today, only one team is going to hold up that Lombardi trophy. The other team, all the blood, all the sweat, 16 games, plus the playoffs that they've gone through, all the injuries, all the things physically that they've gone through this year, someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. There's a football player, he's retired now, he's on ESPN as an analyst. His name is Joe Marino. Phenomenal quarterback. He was played for Pittsburgh in college, set all kind of records in Pittsburgh, drafted first round to go play for the Miami Dolphins. He broke, I don't know if Peyton Manning has actually broken his records now, but for a long time, he was the best, the epitome of the best quarterback record-wise as far as pass completions in the NFL. But he never won a Super Bowl. He never won. He never won a national championship in Pittsburgh. And not to say anything negative about him or anything like that, but there's a guy that gave his whole life to reach a goal, and he never fulfilled or achieved that goal. Paul says here concerning people who follow Jesus that run your life in a way to make sure that you're going to win. Last week we talked about breakthrough and breakout, and we talked about in Genesis chapter 38, that there was a woman who had twins inside her. Her name was Tamar. And the Bible says that there was the firstborn son, or seemed to be the firstborn. The child stuck his hand out. And the maid, the woman that was there that was going to help deliver the child, saw this hand sticking out. and she tied a ribbon around his hand. Then all of a sudden, the Bible says, he pulled his hand back inside of his mother. And another child inside, the other son inside, broke out and came out first. Zerah had a hand out, but pulled it back. But Perez broke out. And yet there's so many times, I think, in our life, again, as we look at a video like this, and we see people that have broken out physically, all the exercise and all the eating and all the regimens that these guys go through, as one of the guys from Seattle said, concerning from the time they're in high school to the time that they're in college, all the things when Jude was up in college at Eastern Washington, I'd call him and I'd say, hey, how was your day? Well, I got to get up at 5:30 to be at the gym at 6 o'clock, start lifting weight, then we go to eat, then we go to class, then we come back and we go practice for 3 hours. And you have to weigh in every day because they want to make sure your weight is a certain level. Everything is regimented. And they're doing that, listen, they do that for a crown, Paul says, that fades away. They do that for a Lombardi trophy that fades away. But Paul says what we do and the race we run is for a crown that is eternal. Can I get an amen? What we saw from one of the guys, phenomenal, Brandon Marshall, is that he was broke relationally. He was broke. A lot of these guys, what's sad to say, a lot of these guys go through their career and they wind up being broke financially. The average NFL player, overall, the average NFL player makes $1.9 million a year. But we see at the end of their life that so many of these guys go through hardships and heartaches because of trust, you know, people ripping them off and all kinds of things like that. Again, for a crown that really fades away. But the challenge for us this morning is that every person who makes Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that we're not just running a race to get a Lombardi trophy. We're not just running a race to get a paycheck. We're just not running a race to say we were in the Super Bowl. We're running a race concerning the call and the assignment that God has on your life. I love what Trent Dilfer said there toward the end. He talked about that us that have made Jesus the Lord of our life, that now our job is to follow Him. Our job is to live our life for Him. Paul said something else really interesting in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Notice what he said. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. So the Bible says that we're just not lifting weights to get big here. We're just not doing something mentally to further ourselves academically or in our job. We need to be training. What he calls here, he calls it training for godliness, training in godly living, so that we can run the race that God has for us. Whether we're in high school, in college, whether we're starting out a career, whether we're married, no matter where we're at in life, we need to continually train ourselves in godly living. Because every single day, we're going out on the field of life, and there's an enemy who's trying to knock our head off. Come on, somebody. He doesn't play fair. He doesn't play according to the rules. There's no umpire, so to speak. But thank God that we do have a great umpire called the Lord God. Come on, everybody. That if we'll follow Him and His rule and His word, no matter what it looks like, He'll turn things around for us. I like this thought. Somebody said this. This wasn't new to me, so I wrote it down. Look on the screen. All your natural effort cannot cause you to break out of a spiritual problem. Look at that. All your natural effort, no matter what Brandon Marshall was doing on the football field, no matter how many passes he had, still inside him there was a bankruptcy of his relationship with God until he surrendered everything to Him. Second thought for you this morning is that spiritual power breaks spiritual sin. The only way to get out of the situation we're in is to submit our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's incredible to me that we find people, just like what we heard today, that have made the switch, and all their life it was all about their mind and about their physical body, about their stamina and about how fast they could run. In the for some of the guys like me that like to watch this, probably coming up in 2 months or so or 3 months, there'll be something that's broadcast on TV called the NFL Combine. And what that is that all the guys that are leaving college that are eligible to play in the NFL, they have what they call a combine for wide receivers, quarterbacks, running back, offensive linemen. What they do is they measure all their statistics. They measure how fast they run the 40-yard dash. They'll take receivers on certain routes to see how fast they cut. Can the defensive, you know, can the DBs come out of their back pedal and break? How quickly do they turn their hips? What do they do when they plant? How many milliseconds does it take? And they're all measured. And for us, maybe you don't know. Maybe you think that nothing's going on. But the enemy's watching. The enemy's watching us constantly, looking for weak points to attack us, looking for weak points to take us out. But again, if we will regularly discipline ourselves in godliness, according to the Word of God, we will build up a reservoir that when attack comes, we'll be able to resist and win victorious. Can you say amen? Every single day can be a Super Bowl for us. I want to tell you, every day counts. Every day counts. This day, whether it seems like maybe this is, you know, your day off per se, you're here at church and you're receiving the Word, which is cool, but this isn't a day that we can just take off and neglect the reason why we're here. God's got a plan for your life. He's got an assignment for you. And again, we find that the devil is coming to steal, kill, and to destroy. He'll do it in myriads of ways in all kinds of situations. We're not to fear him, but we're to be aware, the Bible says, of his devices. When the offense goes on the field today, there will be a defense trying to stop them. Come on, everybody. So we're not ignorant. We don't say, well, you know, we're not going to hide. No, we're going to show up at the Super Bowl every day. We're going to approach every day that this is the day the Lord has made. Come on. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Come on. No matter what comes our way, the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So in all of our life, in all of our day, God's going to give us wisdom. It's amazing what happens in life. It'll happen today. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Somebody up in the booth where all the offense and defensive coordinators and all the certain coaches are up high and they've got the headsets on. You see them in the booths up high and they're talking to the coaches on the field about what they see. They're seeing things maybe that you can't quite pick up when you're on the field because you're at ground level. And they're watching and they're saying, okay, listen, they're doing this on defense or they're doing this on offense, so we're going to make a little switch here. And the coaches that win Super Bowls and games always make adjustments. They always make adjustments. It's phenomenal if you watch the NFC Championship game 2 weeks ago where the Seattle Seahawks were playing the Green Bay Packers and they were getting smashed. It wasn't even a game. Green Bay was dominating them. But if you watched, I watched a little bit yesterday, Russell Wilson, the quarterback, he threw 4 interceptions. You can't win any game. You can't win a peewee game throwing 4 interceptions. And they had another turnover. 5 turnovers. But he was marching up and down the sidelines telling his guys, guys, we're still in it. We're only down 16. We're only down 16. We can get it back. And sure enough, they got it back and they scored a touchdown. Sure enough, something else happened. They scored a touchdown. And then they did an onside kick, which means they only kicked it about 20, 15 yards, and they got it and went down and scored, went into overtime, and they scored a game, or scored a touchdown, and won the game. They did that in a matter of just 4 or 5 minutes. So listen, in closing, you might look like it's been hell for a good part of your life, a good part of your month, a good part of 2015, but can I tell you, God can do something amazing in a short period of time. If you'll listen to him, you'll read the playbook, and you'll make some adjustments. Just make some adjustments. Just make some adjustments. Cooperate with him. I love what Matt Hasselbeck, the quarterback there, played for years for Seattle. He said there, and I wrote it down. He said, you know, I thought that I would just kind of bring guys to the chaplain, right? My job as a Christian was just to kind of bring guys to the chaplain, bring guys to church, which we should. But what Trent Dilfer told him was, listen, you've got stuff inside you that you can help and bless people right where you're at. Amen. Absolutely. We want people to come to church and keep filling up the church again and again. Amen? Amen? Again and again. So I applaud you for that. But what I want you to see this morning is that everywhere you go, You take the quarterback, Jesus, with you. You take the one who has the playbook. You take the one, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside you, who can give you the exact word for the right person, no matter what it looks like, and you can unlock their hearts for them, including anybody around them, their family, which was phenomenal. Listen to Brandon Marshall, how he got a hold of that, and he led his mom, he led his sisters, he led his whole family to Jesus. What would that look like in your life today? That if you and I were used by God and you just said, I'm getting out of myself, I'm gonna stir myself up, I'm gonna make some adjustments in my life, not just to think that I can't do this. No, God's in my life. He's lived for me. He died for me. He rose for me. We sung that this morning. And I want Him to use me to reach others for Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Jesus. Can you say amen? Paul, again in closing, said, all these guys do this for a crown that's going to fade away. Crown that's fade away. If you look at most NFL players, older, they're in crutches, they're in wheelchairs, some of them have brain damage, all the operations, their knees are jacked up, their hips are jacked up, and the price they paid for that. The Bible says, even though they got an eternal crown, even though they got their name etched in that trophy, what we do is for an eternal purpose. I want to implore you today that you don't give your life to something at the end of your life says, it's meaningless. It doesn't matter. What really did I do with my life? I made money, but what does it matter? I had a cool job, but I lost my family. The Bible says that we can run the race that He sets before us. And we do that by continually looking to Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He is the life. And listen, lest you think in disqualifying yourself, well, I can't ask anybody. Nobody will follow me. I can't. You know, there's an amazing story. It seems like we come back and talk about this regularly. There was a guy in the Bible that Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee to. In Gadara. The Bible calls him the maniac of Gadara. How'd you like if that was your name? Not just, I'm the man of Gadara. No, I'm the maniac of Gadara. Jesus comes over and the guy falls down and starts worshiping Jesus. And you know the story. If you don't know the story, it's phenomenal. Read it in Mark chapter 5. He falls down and begins worshiping Jesus, yet he's filled with the devil. Anyway, Jesus, in compassion and love, just casts the power of the devil out of him. Guy, the Bible says that the town was mesmerized at what happened. They wanted Jesus to leave the region because of what had happened. And the Bible says here was this man who lived in tombs, cut himself in shackles and chains. And yet there he was with Jesus, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. In just a matter of, let's say this, I don't know how long it took, let's say it was 15 minutes, 10 minutes. From the time he ran to Jesus on the seashore to the time all of that transformation happened, 10 minutes. And the Bible says all the people got afraid of Jesus. And that maniac who was healed now, delivered in his right mind, he said, Jesus, let me stay with you. Let me go back with you on the other side. Let me be with you. You know what Jesus told this guy? Go home where you came from and tell everybody what great things God's done for you. The Bible says he went and he preached all around. It says the Decapolis, 10 cities is what it means in the Greek. 10 cities. He preached about the power of Jesus to change lives. Listen, if a guy who just an hour ago was filled with the devil could get healed and could then become a, quote, preacher, a sharer of the good news, that gives you and me hope. Come on, everybody. Can I just tell you, you got what you need. You got enough to help somebody else. So be a follower of Jesus and share that everywhere you go. Make a commitment. If you're watching the Super Bowl today, or maybe you're not watching it, make a commitment. I want to get on the field. I want to get on the field. I've never been in that environment. I didn't play college football, didn't play high school football. I've never been in that environment, but I watch it with passion. Just, what
my gosh, what memories to be on that field, to be in, they talk about, these guys talk about the locker room, the camaraderie, much like guys and gals that serve in the military, the camaraderie, what happens when you're in war, bullets are flying, ammunition is going, what happens in that moment? Lifelong friendships. You saved me. You were there for me. You helped me. We were teammates for 5 years. But they were on the field. Let me encourage you. Get out of the sidelines. Get off the sidelines of life. Get off of being an armchair quarterback. Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. How about you and I really become followers of Jesus and allow Him to use you right where you're at with your family, with your friends, and at work with your co-workers, leading them into an active and a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. God is looking for you, and He wants you today. And so if you're a follower of Christ, I just encourage you, make that decision. I'm going to up my game. I'm going to follow Him in a new way. I'm going to let Him use me in a new way in this season that I'm in and for the rest of my life. I want my life to matter. I'm running my life for an eternal prize, not just a natural prize. Not more hours so I get a new car. Not just so I can do my own thing. I want my life to matter for Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, as even Kimberly said a moment ago when we were singing, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, we want to pray with you today. Unashamedly, boldly, we want to tell you, you need Jesus. Jesus Himself told a guy, you got to be born again. Life's not going to make sense until you're born again. Athletes go through this thing. It's, you know, just happened once in their life when Jude was in high school and college coaches were coming to the house talking about recruiting. Recruiters came. And what they do is they sit down, they talk to him. They talk to us. They talk to football coaches at the high school. They talk to all the other coaches around here. What do you think about this kid? What do you know about this kid? We went to several combines. What was his numbers? What'd he do? What'd he run at UCLA, the UCLA combine? We ran a 4.4, a 4.4 5.40. You're kidding me. White boy can run. Wow. How much does he bench? What does he squat? What does he do? What's his record as an offensive player, as a defensive player? Talk about this kind of figured out thing, though, that everybody's looking for, called heart. Heart. What do you do when it gets tough? What do you do when you haven't got anything else to give? Will you show up? Will you push through that? Well, as a person looking to Jesus, a person maybe trying to find God, you can't do anything in yourself to make yourself better to find or follow Him. It's not about your effort. It's not about all your records. It's not about what you've done or you're not done. The Bible says all you need to do is call out to Him. And if you'll call out to Him, the Bible says He will graciously and mercifully save you. He'll deliver you right there where you're at. No matter what's gone on in your life, you don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to earn anything. All you have to do is receive this amazing gift called salvation. It's called free. It's free. It's a free gift to everybody, regardless of where you've been or what your past looks like. God's here to talk to you. Can you say amen? Come on, stand up, everybody. Did you receive that this morning? I believe you did. Let's pray. Prayer partners, come up here and help me. Would you do that? If you're in the room today, everybody with me, just bow your head, close your eyes. Everybody in the room, why don't you say this prayer with me? We'll say it out loud. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, would you pray this with me today? Everybody say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I recognize my need. I recognize you as Lord. I'm asking you today to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I say with my mouth, I believe it with my heart, Jesus is Lord. So I change my mind. Help me change my direction.
fill me with your Spirit today and forever in Jesus' name. Right there with your head bowed, your eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you something this morning real bold. You'd say, Pastor Gary, that's me. I prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe I prayed that prayer for the second or third time, but today something's clicking in me. I mean it. I mean it. Today I'm all in. Today I want to be used by God. Today I want to be a missionary. I want God to use me.